Will y'all give Brother Bob a hand as he comes?
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Thank you, everyone. Welcome. Glad you're here. This would be a lonely place if I was the only one here, but we would go on and preach anyway and take up an offering and see if people get saved. But last time I spoke on a Wednesday night, it's been a while, but it was really talking about the temple, about how much gold and silver was in the temple. Anybody remember the $231 billion offering that was received up for that temple and everything overlaid with gold? And we went in a different direction. But one of the things, you know, is that God is not staggered by amounts. He's not staggered by increase. He's really not even staggered by possessions. I mean, if you walked on the streets of heaven, I mean, you would just be amazed how much luxury there is. I mean, He is an extravagant God. Amen. And we want to talk about that tonight. But before we get into that, I want to go through some scriptures with you. I want to make you work out some and not get so relaxed here. And we want to recite some scriptures, okay? So let's put up the scriptures. We'll start with Mark 10:27. But everywhere it says that Jesus looked at them and said, just say, all right, with men it is impossible. That means you're supposed to talk. But with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. I like that one. That's a good one right there. All right, Mark 9:23, it says, if you can believe. All right, let's do it again. If you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. Who said that? He said that. That's in red in my Bible. All right, Mark 11:22. So Jesus answered them and said to them, have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Amen. Wow, that's one of my all-time favorites. I don't know about you. All right, Luke 12:32 says this. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know, he said all of those things. And you know, the amazing thing about the vocabulary of God Himself and Jesus Himself is impossible is not a term that is even used. He never speaks in terms of impossibilities. And even in speaking about us, He says, if we can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. Any limits on that? Well, that's pretty wide open. So he declares this to us, and this is a challenge to us. He says, if we can believe it, all things are possible to those who believe. So whatever it is that I can believe, that I can grab a hold of, no matter what promises in the Word, no matter what Jesus said, what the Holy Spirit said in the epistles, it is a direct relationship with me that if I can, if all of us, if we can believe it, that all things are possible to us who believe. I mean, he goes on in Mark 11:22 and says that whatever we ask for in prayer, if we believe we can receive it, we can have it. Wow. You know, and we're down here just trying to get by. And God has opened up the kingdom of heaven for us. He's opened up everything, every available promise, everything that He has. I mean, He owns everything on this earth and under the earth and on top of the earth. I mean, He owns it all. Amen. So He is an amazing God of increase. Now let's go to Genesis 1, and we'll pick up in verse 26. And it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over all these different things. Now, he blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over it. Any limitations in any of that? You can only go this far. But you can't have this. None. None whatsoever. Just a carte blanche. Now, see, the thing about it is, see, he blessed them. We think about blessing somebody as we just pat them on the head and tell them they're good looking. But God decrees their destiny by speaking forth a blessing on them. He is not complimenting them. He is telling them, this is what you're capable of doing. He is empowering them to do it. See, that no matter where they go, they're going to prosper. See, if they grab onto that word and believe that that's what it's going to be. See, if they believe that God has truly blessed them, no matter where they go, they are a blessing yet to happen. Glory to God. And so, yeah, they messed up. Anybody here ever mess up? Thanks for the grace of God. But he decreed to them, be fruitful. And I don't know, we've relegated that down to having children and things like that, and that's okay. You knock yourself out. Have all the kids you want. Okay. And it's part of that. It's including that. But the word fruitful means to be very productive, to produce fruit in abundance, to be plenteous, to be abounding in anything. So when he was telling them to be fruitful, he was telling them to just abound with no limitation. Amen? See, God doesn't talk limits. He doesn't have any, if you've ever noticed. He just has none. So he doesn't talk to us that way in limits. So he was telling him to abound in everything. What is abounding in everything? Think about it. Think about what abounding is. That it just continually increases and increases and increases and keeps spreading out. That's abounding. See, it just keeps going and going and it overtakes whatever's in its way. See, that's abounding. So he has called us to abound with infinite blessing, to just really spread out and do things. Now, let's go to Isaiah 55, and we'll start in verse 10. It says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You know, we've had two really contrasting years. Last year, dry, hot. I mean, this time of year, it was already dry. Things were drying up. A lot of things died. Anybody that was in the farming business, they lost their crops pretty much. And you know, the one thing about it is, if there is no rain, there is no increase. It just starts having impact upon everything. Hope no one in here had to repair their foundation and so forth. But there's when it doesn't rain, can you imagine in the Bible there were years where it did not rain? Wow. That was devastating. So here we had water rations, we had all these things, we had dead plants, we had all this stuff because of the lack of rain. This year, through April 15th, it was the wettest year on record. What a difference a year makes. Do you know, I mean, when it rains, Does your grass just like jump? Mine does. It's just like instant lawn. It just loves it. I have a happy lawn. It sings when it rains. But, you know, when rain hits things, it jumps and it increases. It causes things to grow. It causes things to abound. Now, God is using this as a picture because He's setting this up as a correlation between the things on this earth that happen that we see every day. And these things should speak to us how the kingdom of God is. That we should look at this every time it rains and go, oh yeah, that's what that is. And that reminds me. So we'll go on in what He said here. He said, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. Where? Mouth. So He's talking about when He says something, He says that it will not return to me void. It will not return to me without producing any effect. It won't return to me neutral or no impact at all. But it will accomplish what I please, and it will prosper in the thing for which I sent it. You hear the attitude of God? When He says something, it's going to happen. I mean, when He tells you you're blessed, and you're blessed to increase, you're blessed to be a blessing, He's not just trying to make us feel good. He is setting a standard in our life and decreeing blessing over to us that it would just start to multiply. So He's drawing the correlation here that just like when the rain hits the earth and it abounds and brings forth fruit out of the earth, everything grows, just like that, when He speaks a word out of His mouth, it will not return to Him without any effect, but it will obtain that purpose for which it was sent forth to do. It'll prosper in the thing for which He sent it. Now, you know, on the negative side, God cannot say, you stupid. Why? You'd be stupid. I mean, if He called you idiot, what would you be? You'd be in trouble, yeah. Yeah. I mean, so He speaks blessing over you. You know, the Bible says that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. Us. What is He praying? He's praying the Word of God over us. He's praying blessing over us. He's praying increase over us. He's praying health and life and prosper. I mean, He's praying the Word of God over you nonstop. Lord, God, that makes me happy. Somebody's praying for me. Amen. Amen. And He's right before the throne praying. That's a good place to be. So, just like that, I mean, that God speaks and it does not return to the void. Now, Ephesians 5 tells us in verse 1 that we are to be imitators of God as dear children. How are children toward their parents? I mean, if you want to know the parents, what do? Watch the kids. Now, they're not 100% culpable, but I mean, you can pick up on the general tone of the home fairly quick, right? Everybody's like, oh my gosh, you know? Yeah. And no matter how many times you tell them not to say anything bad or not to repeat anything at home, they cannot wait to get there to say something, right? But they imitate their parents. They watch them. They study them. They do things like they do. And no matter how much they don't want to sound like their father, they end up sounding like their father. Amen? I mean, it's just, why? Because that's the image that's in front of them. Well, see, the Ephesians 5 verse 1 says that we are to be imitators of God as dear children. We are to watch Him. We are to look at Him. We're to study the Word and see when we see these examples, we're to say, He just did that. Therefore, I need to give that a shot. So when God says, when His word goes out of His mouth, and it does not return to Him without any effect, but it goes forth and prospers in the way that it is, when He says that, my job, our job, is to say, okay, let's try this. Let's do this. Let's be imitators of Him. Will we fail? Probably. But as we keep on doing it, we become just like Him. We start learning about Him because He starts teaching us. So every time we read the gospel and read a gospel story, we're not just reading parables. We're reading examples to where we can start doing and imitating just like He just did. Amen? Everybody still with me? Y'all are just kind of looking like, oh my gosh, what are we into here? So, He provides seed to the sower and bread for food. Now, Matthew 5:48 says, therefore you will be perfect just as your Father in heaven is be perfect. So we are to be like Him. We are to constantly strive to be like Him. Every time we read Scriptures, we're reading a story, a view of God. We're seeing a picture of Him. We're seeing something that He does or how He thinks about things. And we are to try to grab hold of that and bring that internally to us. Now, there were a number of examples in Scripture, and a lot of them have to do with agriculture. Now, you can go ahead and put up a picture of this wheat thing. Okay. I brought a picture here because, you know, they did a survey in high schools recently about, you know, where does food come from? And the number one answer is 85% of them said the grocery store. So, you know, I read that and I thought, man, take nothing for granted, you know? I see some of you think, hey, that's a good idea. That was a good answer. But no, not really. It's not right. In fact, I hate to shock you, but the food in the grocery store doesn't just grow there, okay? Some may mold and expand there, but that's about it on that one. There are actually wheat fields. And thank God for the state of Kansas, because they have a website that has all this information about growing wheat, because it is the number one state in the nation of growing wheat. And if you ever drive through Kansas, that's what you will see. And occasionally there'll be a building. Okay? But it's mostly wall-to-wall wheat fields. And so that's what they look like when they're growing. These are on the bottom left-hand side are what are called the heads of grain, or sometimes in the Bible they call them ears of grain. And so as they grow like that, the average wheat head has 50 seeds on it. 50 seeds. Now, I didn't count them. I'm taking their word for it. I don't know who counted them. That's not a job I would want to have, because they're not that big. But you can see from the wheat, there's all kinds of food and everything that comes out of that. It is a very big staple in our diet, as well as back in biblical times, it was a huge staple. So it was a very important thing. When they talked about wheat harvests, it was a very important time and critical to them. Now, so there was an average here of 50 kernels of grain. Now, in Bible terms, we would call that 50-fold. Okay? Everybody with me? We're going to do some math here a little bit, so I don't want to lose you here. But why? Because out of one seed, I would get a plant that would produce 50 seeds. Okay? So it would be 50 times as much. Now, while I was doing some calculations was that if I decided I was going to go into the wheat business and I was just going to start in my yard, and I was going to take one plant of wheat and I was going to plant it, and then I was going to do the tithe with the wheat seeds. I'm sure Pastor Mark would appreciate receiving the wheat seeds. And then pay the expenses for the farming operation, which was about 75% of the cost. What would that look like over a period of time if I was taking close to 85% of the seeds away and planting with the rest. Okay, everybody with me? I don't want to lose you in the math here. Okay. So I ran my farm for 10 years. And really for about the first 5 years, I never got out of my yard. I just kind of kept taking over space. But then after that, it was just like there was like a super multiplication that started in. So on a 30-fold or 30 times basis, I would have 145 acres of wheat by the end of 10 years. Okay? 30-fold, 30 times. If I did 50-fold, which is the average, and kept acquiring land, I'd have 24,000 acres of land that I would be farming by the end of 10 years. See, I started with a little thing in my flower bed, and now I'm going out and acquiring 24,000 acres. If I did 60-fold, which is talked about in the Bible, I would have 149,000 acres of land. Start to get a big spread there. Okay? If I did 100-fold return on that, meaning I got 100 seeds back for each plant, I would have 24.6 million acres. I would own 14% of the state of Texas, which would encompass all the DFW area four times. See, you know, when we say these things, when Jesus uses these examples of 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, that's what he's talking about, is that there is an increase that goes on and an impact in everything that we do, that we should always be looking at increasing no matter what it is. Now, let's look at an example of this in Genesis 26, verse 12. And there's several examples in the Bible. It says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him." Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father had dug in the days of Abraham his father, and they had filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." So he was increasing so much that he was overtaking the land, and they were feeling so crowded that they asked him to leave. Now, later on, they asked him to come back because they figured out that all the blessing went with him. So, but where was this blessing and increase coming from? The Bible tells us that God blessed him. And he multiplied. He hundredfold all the time. And it just kept expanding, and it kept expanding, and it kept expanding. So you see several examples in Scripture like this, that they keep just expanding out. See, that's what God was talking about. Be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over it. See, he's talking about the fact that our life, that we should really stop thinking limited thoughts. And anytime we start dealing with a limited thought, we need to deal with that. Because God is not limited. He is not holding you back. He has not put a corral around you and said, "This is as far as you can go." So by planting and starting with one plant and increasing 100-fold each time, I would end up owning a good plot of land in the state of Texas. Amazing. 24 million acres. That's a lot to take care of. Yeah, Vicki, don't want any part of that, you know. Now, let's go to Mark 4 and verse 20. And Jesus said this, "But these are the ones that sown on good ground, those who hear the word, they accept it, and they bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. Now, there were examples before that where they went through where people didn't increase at all. Nothing happened. But here, the people who hear the word, they accept it, they bring it inside of them, and they accept it, and they start to live by it, and they start to practice that. They actually, what we said, believe it. They actually just believe it and start to act like it's true. He said those people would increase some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. Glory to God. So there is, in his teaching, this increase of seed that just keeps multiplying and keeps multiplying and keeps going and going and going. In every area of our life, if you start to envision the fact that it just continually multiplies every year. Like I said, the first 5 years never got out of the backyard. But then all of a sudden, man, ended up owning half the state of Texas. You know, it's just like, well, that's the way the kingdom of God is. You know, we're sowing and we're getting things back and things are happening. But, I mean, we started with nothing. I mean, we started with one plant. And we just keep increasing and keep multiplying. See, that's the way he wants us to think about souls. And that's the way he wants us to think about reaching people and changing lives. The fact that there is absolutely no nation that we cannot go take if we begin to think it's possible. What did he say in Mark 9:23? If you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. So is the encumbrance is really on us to look at that and not think in limited ways. To not think that, oh, this is as far as I can get. This is as far as I can increase. Oh, I have enough now. I'm just going to stop. It's not a good thing to do. So as God spoke the word forth, it went forth and it prospered. It increased. As he heard the word and received it, he began to increase, began to practice it, and began to go forward. See, because the word of God and the promises of God become a very active part of our life. It becomes so much of our life that everything else just seems to be contrary. And it is. Amen? Because if you ever watch, anybody watch the news here? Don't raise your hand. It's pretty disgusting. How many times can you hear limitations in a half hour? I was in the lovely kingdom of Saudi Arabia once, and it's a great place. You ought to try it. Just kidding. And I was working. There was nothing else to do but work. Everybody's covered in black. So I was working, and I had the TV on, and all was on was CNN. That was it. That was the only English-speaking station they had. So I thought, well, I'll just leave that on just for noise. I tell you what, you know, after they went on and on and on about the bad news, and then, you know, finally they got, the last thing I heard was, you think that's bad, it's going to get really bad. And I thought, my gosh, I was like, Lord, turn that thing off. So, you know. So, see, if we hear the Word of God and we receive it, meaning we accept it inside of us, we just accept it as part of us, and we say, yeah, that's what I want. I may start small, but it won't be long till things begin to progress, things begin to increase, and things begin to multiply far beyond what I ever thought. Because he's not sitting there saying, you're just limited to this little square acre right here. This little yard right here. That's it. This job right here. That's it. This career right here. That's it. This thing right here. That's it. This amount of money. That's it. This amount of health. That's it. That's just the way it is. No, it's not the way it is. I mean, we serve a God of increase. We serve a God that is so mighty. When you get a hold of how mighty he is, I mean, it's just like, There's nothing that can match Him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So challenge you to get to know Him as the mighty God. I mean, He is just awesome, wanting to increase so much. John 15, verse 7, Jesus said, "If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." Boy, I like that right there. You can just party right there. I mean, what is the requirement here? If I abide in Him and He's abiding in me, and if I ask whatever I will, that it'll be done for me. "By this My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be My disciples." So He's talking about that same correlation of being fruitful, that we're not satisfied with where we are, but we're thinking increase. We're thinking doing more. We're thinking getting engaged more. We're thinking of learning more. We're thinking of getting to know Him more. We're thinking of imitating Him more and trying this out and doing this thing and watching things happen. See, that's what He's talking. He's talking about that if we do that, that we will bear much fruit. We won't stay the same. Nothing will stay the same. Because with God, all things are possible. Man, you plug Him in, things are going to change. Amen? I mean, I look sometimes and I think, wow, just amazing. Just amazing. I mean, the elaborate ways that He comes up with blessing people. Just amazing. And think that He thought all that out and had all these relationships and connections going on. I mean, you know, had things happening. And, you know, it's just amazing. When you sit and watch God just really work and think about all the things He had to do to get that increase to you. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I just sit there and go, wow, that was an all-time high right there. That was a 10 on a 10 scale. Just the elaborate nature of Him. Now, we're going to end with a scripture in Proverbs 21, verse 5. It says, "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness." What do the thoughts of the diligent tend to? Plenteousness. Plenteousness. That means we don't sit here and think that we're going broke. We don't sit here and think that we're just poor forever. We don't sit here and think that this is just it. No, the thoughts and the plans of the diligent, they tend to plenteousness. Sometimes I have to challenge myself. Am I thinking limited thoughts? Am I corralling myself in? You know, and really have to challenge how I'm thinking. You know, and it's not always apparent, because sometimes I'll spend days thinking on a thought and really just at the end of it, I think, well, that wasn't even a God thought. That was so limited and worthless, you know, just kind of leaves you with nothing. Well, you know, our job, the diligent, our thoughts and our plans always tending to plenteousness. We're always looking at the plenty side of things. Now, another translation says, "The thoughts of the diligent should be forevermore on abundance." Mm-mm-mm. See, if you start thinking about abundance, if you just start thinking about all the things that need to be done for the kingdom of God, I mean, if you just think about really pushing it out there and saying, "I am only going to think about abundance. I'm not going to think about limitations." What do you think God is going to do with you? Do you think He's going to slap you down and say, "You're thinking too big of thoughts, too big for your pants? You know, get it together"? No, He's going to help you out. He's going to give you some further thoughts to think. He will cause you to stretch your limits out there and will challenge you to think bigger. See, because He desires that nobody be lost, but all people come into the saving knowledge of Christ. See, He's not thinking, well, I'll have this nation and this people and that people and the rest of them just... Pfft. No, His desire is He wants them all. Well, that's greedy. No, that's His desire. He wants them all. Every one of them. Not a one of them He wants to let go. Not a person. Not the most dastardly person you're thinking of right now. He wants them into the kingdom of God. And He wants to bless them. He wants to love them. He wants to prosper them and increase them. See, that's how far He thinks. Amen. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your just amazing increase. God, You are so good. Lord, just help us to just expand our thoughts. Lord, Your Word says that we always tend to plenteousness, that we always tend to abundance. So, Father, challenge us. Intervene when we're thinking things that we shouldn't be thinking. Intervene and teach us to think the right things, to think unlimited thoughts. Lord, our desire is to be like You, to walk like You, to have maximum impact like You. And Lord, we thank You, Lord, that that's Your desire for us. So we praise You, Father, that every day that we live, we are making great impact on everybody around us. And we thank You, Lord, for it. We thank You that we increase more and more, that there are absolutely no limits in our life. We praise You, Father. Thank You, Lord, that if we can believe, all things are possible to us who believe. And we just receive that now, Lord, and we praise You for it. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank You. Praise the Lord. Well, that's renewing your mind. We walk by faith, not by sight. We get so used to this natural world, we got to learn to think like our Father. It's amazing. Amen. Good message. Amen. That'll get your faith up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, stand with me. I'm going to dismiss you in just a moment. If you need prayer tonight, if you have a special need, you want prayer, I know that Brother Bob would be glad to pray with you. I would pray with you. There's many prayer partners that would be glad to pray with you. So if you have a prayer need, I just encourage you as we dismiss tonight to come forward. But come in faith. Come believing. Amen. God can do it. But I just want to pray over you before I dismiss you this evening. And I just encourage you, take hold of this word. Let it produce a harvest in you. Amen. Father, I just thank You for each of these, Lord. Each one of them is a vessel. Each one of them, Lord, is Your child, intended to be an imitator of God. And Father, I pray that as we go from this place, Lord, we'll walk in Your power, we'll walk in the authority that You've given us. Lord Jesus, that as we go, Lord, that we'll make a difference in this world. Everywhere we go, we're going to walk by faith, Lord, and not by sight. Father, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord would just be upon us, Lord, and use us for Your honor and glory. Lord, that we would be very, very fruitful, and You'd be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord, bless you.